It's your favourite part of the week. It's time for 24 years at the tap end. Tuesday at work or college or school or uni is off and tap end is on. What are you saying today?
I'm saying we go to the 17th year again.
If you've never heard this before, my friend Chris here is writing his autobiography, or as he calls it...
Autobiography.
Because he can't say biography. And he's doing it because, let's face it, everyone else has.
Yeah, we sort of miss Christmas rush, though.
Yeah, we've got next year, it's all fine.
Yeah.
So, sixth form today.
Yeah, end of sixth form. I went to a sixth form at school, and that's what we're going to talk about, basically.
Okay.
Ready.
Hmm?
I'm now ready.
You're ready, yeah?
I'm ready.
I am ready.
And I suppose you're both keen. I haven't even asked, but...
Yeah, don't ask.
Right.
I like the way you assume I'm keen now, you don't.
Well, are you?
Well, yeah, but, I mean, don't assume it. That's just...
My time at high school was full of ups and downs. I had successfully gained qualifications to both the GCSE and SAT standard, and I was waiting for A-level results later in the summer. I had learnt a lot at my time at school. I had organised a small revolution and learnt two languages, amongst other things.
Remind me of the revolution again. This is brilliant.
It was the canteen boycott
yeah.
that I organised.
Why?
Just because we wanted lower prices in the canteen.
Did you see one of our listeners, I can't remember who it was, but they tweeted the other day saying, you do realise today is the 10th anniversary of the school canteen boycott.
Oh, wow,
yeah.
Really?
People remember that stuff.
Yeah.
They must be keen. It was a highly productive part of my life. Graduating from upper school to sixth form had been a largely positive experience, symbolised by a uniform change. Up until sixth form, my school uniform was standard, but in the sixth form, we were allowed to wear our own suits, as long as it was smart.
Yes, you've made it. And did girls wear girl suits?
Well, it was a boys' school.
Ah, okay, that's...
There were girls that we were introduced to.
Yeah.
For some of the lessons, we joined up with the girls' school.
And what were they wearing, like lady suits?
Do you know what was weird? I think they were still in uniform. I think they had a hard time in the sixth form, but they had to stick to... I think it was a more casual uniform, but all the same a uniform. To be honest, I didn't really care.
So did you buy the suit or did you just hire it?
Did you get it off the, yeah, the hiring places where you normally go for prom?
Even though this was a sign of independence...
Didn't even answer us.
My mum bought my suit and it was one of those she claimed I'd grow into. Sorry. I never did.
I think you've stopped growing, haven't you, once you get to like 17, 18. Your arms aren't going to suddenly grow a few inches.
Someone told me the other day that once you get to 25, you're dying every day.
Your ears keep growing, don't they?
Like if you look at technically, you're dying from 25 onwards.
That can't be true.
I don't know.
Is in the eyes of Radio 1. It's not that Edmondson told me.
I'm in the winter of my life. You will do the right thing and put me in a home, won't you?
Yeah. Okay. With all the other Radio 1 DJs.
Thank you.
By sixth form, we had freedom of the city of Watford. We could go anywhere we wanted, as long as we were back in time for our lessons, and generally, we were all given a bit more respect from the teachers. Growing up in a boys' school, meeting girls had been an issue, but thankfully, some of my classes in sixth form had seen my first proper daily interactions with girls since my primary school. See, my primary school was a mixed school.
Oh, right, so you'd had experience with girls before?
I did have previous experience, luckily.
Was that just, like, kiss chase, though?
Yeah.
I don't know if that still works by the time you get to uni. You need to have like developed a different tactic. You can't pick up where you left off at 11. Otherwise they might think you're slightly odd.
Although looking back, I probably didn't handle them correctly, it had set me up nicely for my time that was to come at uni. I learnt that leaving talking to a girl you like to the very last psychology lesson you share with them is not a great strategy and leads to awkward chat. Also, it's worth investing time checking that if you text a girl, she is not going out with the school's rugby captain.
Oh, did that happen?
I managed to avert that disaster by pretending I got the wrong number.
Talk me through that, please.
That was just a really awkward one. So there was this girl I quite liked in my psychology lesson, and I managed to get hold of her number, text her that night talking about work or something mundane like that. But what was weird is the number I'd got hold of through my mate Lewis, he'd given me her boyfriend's number, who was the... happened to also be sort of the rugby captain at our school, a guy called Don Barrell.
Hench.
He was hench and a half.
So what did you say in the text to what was the rugby bloke?
It was stuff related to work, but all the same, it was pretty see-through what was happening.
Did he say anything back?
He texted me back, yeah.
Saying?
Well, I'm a bit annoyed about this still, because obviously my mate Lewis has stitched me up there, right?
Yeah.
And I had to bail out of it going, oh, I got the wrong number, mate, I'm sorry, respect and all that, and try and bow down at his greatness.
But when he texted you back, do you think it was the girl texting you back?
No, because he put Don on the bottom of it. So I had strong suspicions what was going on at that point.
And you left it there, yeah?
Of course I did.
Did he at any point think that you were trying to have it off with his girlfriend?
I think he probably thought that.
Or him. You're not very good at spotting this. We talked about this with Dougsy last week, the holding hands thing.
I don't think Don was on, if that makes sense. No,
you're not keen.
By sick form, everyone had grown up a little bit more. Some of my friends left to go to college, but most stayed at school to give A-levels a go. We had a sick form common room next to the canteen. It was pretty basic, to be honest, just a few chairs, a sofa. Everything else had been removed due to vandalism or theft. This did annoy me a bit, and I did get in trouble when I attempted to refurbish the common room with furniture liberated from the staff room. I don't know what I was thinking. It was a bad idea.
What'd you do? You just took stuff from the staff room?
Yeah, because I noticed they had coffee machines and stuff like that, and we weren't getting any in the common room, so I thought I'd have
You moved a coffee machine?
Yeah, I got a stereo out of there, which they didn't notice, but it was when I tried to go for the chairs and stuff that they saw me and my mates.
How did you get into the staff room in the first place?
Well, it's an open... Staff rooms aren't locked. It's an open door. You just got to be bold.
Yeah, but how often... Is there not a member of staff in the staff room?
That's the risk you got to take.
You must have had a few false starts with, like, oh, yeah, I've just come to
Sorry,
see
wrong
if
door.
Mr so-and-so's in it.
I've learned, if you ever want to sort of take an... If you do it with confidence, people don't question it.
Do you know what? I've heard that, actually. A lot of people saying that the number one thing to be nicked from shops is, like, mattresses. Because if you walk out with a mattress under your arm, no one ever questions that you've nicked it. I'm not saying to do it.
Yeah, I'm not advocating
and
it.
And I'm not... I say it's a bad thing, but I have heard that before. Like, the bigger the thing, the easier it is to get it away, because...
However... A coffee machine is normally quite heavy.
Yeah.
Like, this is... Was it a vending machine?
No, it was just one of those desktop coffee machines.
Also, in the staff room, the number one thing that they're going to miss, coffee.
Straight away.
Yeah.
Also, for jokes, we took a portrait from in there, but that was just a stupid move because...
A portrait of who?
Some old head teacher or something. Like. What? I don't know, I just thought it would decorate the common room nicely.
And they noticed. Surprise.
Yeah, when they came into the common room, they spotted that and then knew that knew where the coffee machine had come from. And
did you do this single-handedly, or is there anyone else you'd like to dob in?
No, I better not name names.
I think you should.
Although that Lewis was one of them, and I sort of do owe him, like...
Right, so he helped.
I had made it through sick form. It had been an emotional ride, and tomorrow was to be the last day of school. And plans had been set in motion for the last day of school, a legendary day every year, muck-up day. One guy in our year, Lewis, was in charge of sorting muck-up day and had asked for volunteers to help with two projects that would outdo last year's last day.
What's muck-up day?
Is it like where you set loads of sheep free in, like, the school or, like...
Yes. I think everyone must have done this when they were at school and you've just got to try and remember it.
Is that just a Somerset thing where you let off sheep?
Well, Maybe it is. We didn't have any in Eastleigh.
Did you not?
No.
You just do, like, random stuff, like... Get a cow into the, like, on the football pitch or something.
And set it free.
There are other non-animal ones that you could do. It's just that those are the ones that spring to mind.
Is this allowed?
Well, no.
No, that's the point of it.
Right, well, what was your one?
The first plan was to divert the traffic of the busy Rickmansworth Road in front of the school through the school grounds using a couple of traffic cones and some signs. The other was to release three sheep.
Yeah.
Oh, God! I feel really left out.
Numbered 1, 2, and 4 in the school grounds and enjoy the chaos. It's basically where you just cause a bit of chaos on your last day of school
to
celebrate.
We didn't have it.
You must have had it in Eastleigh.
We didn't.
Or just, like, all swallow. You know those antacid tablets which foam in your mouth? If everyone has one of them, like, during the lesson, and just... That's quite scary for a teacher if, like, 30 people will start
foaming in their mouth.
With, like, this sort of uber minty smell.
Logistically, everyone seemed unsure where we would get the sheep. But a guy called Jack was confident he could make this happen. I did think it was a bit over the top, but all the same, it was important our year left its mark. As always with these kind of things, though, the teachers got wind of it. And that afternoon, an announcement was made in the common room that in fact today was going to be the last day of school, and that after lunch we were free to go home. It was a cunning move on their behalf, and we hadn't planned for it. This scuppered plans to get hold of livestock or organise diverting traffic the following morning. It forced our hand to create a last-minute muck-up day. We gave it a go, but there was nothing clever about it. We moved all outside benches and bins into the sick form common room and lobbed a few stink bombs about. But after lunch, people started to make their way home. Weirdly, for one of the first times ever, I realised I didn't really want to leave school. If you are listening to this as an audiobook, press play on emotional music. Which is Boyzone, You Needed Me.
Okay, let's try and find that now. Do you think we're going to have Boyzone in here?
I'll have a look on here, hang on.
Oh, yes, it's there.
That's the one.
Right, here we go.
This was going to be the last day I saw a lot of these people I had grown up with. And although I was excited about the summer ahead, it was a shame that it felt like my school life was ending so suddenly. Unlike the end of primary school and GCSEs, no one was signing each other's shirts. It didn't really seem right, as everyone was wearing suits. But it was over, and after shaking hands with the people around me, I walked through the gates on my last official school day. I stopped briefly to turn around and look. The canteen where I organised the boycott, the school theatre we covered teachers in suntan lotion, and the drama studio I danced with a girl to Boyzone, You Needed Me. It was at this point I realised it had been a job well done, and leaving on a high, I headed straight to my nearest chicken shop and my future.
I cried a tear, you know I did try. I was confused, you cleared my mind. I sold my soul, you bought it back for me and held me up. Strength to stand alone again, to face the world out on my own again. You put me high upon a pedestal, so high that I could almost see eternity. You need.
Switch the radio on. This is Radio 1.
You give me hope when I was at the end.
Chris, surely this means that at some point we're going to release a soundtrack to 24 Years at the Tap End, which is just a song from the 90s.
I like this idea a lot.
But recently we've just been playing songs that actually evoke quite a lot of emotion with our listeners. But are this... What was the other one we played the other day?
I'm not a man. No, I'm not,
I'm
a,
not
girl.
A girl, not yet a woman. Nearly finished now, might as well have it.
Everybody!
There are people now crying and texting Radio 1. Sarah in Yateley's been on. Oh, God, that made me cry. But I am pregnant. Also, we've got someone saying, this makes me all emotional. It reminds me of my last day of sixth form. And a lot of people will talk about what they did on their muck-up day. Thank you, Chris, for another brilliant song from the 90s and more Tap End.